The bloody divinity, Ogta, had coveted the land of Ogmore once before creating the orcs.
All right, just wait a minute. Who do you think you're coming around here talking about the dwarves? Nobody should rightly be talking about the dwarves except, you guessed it, the dwarves. I know you came around here spilting your stuff about humans and your sleeves and your long pants, but listen up. Nobody tells the story about the dwarves except the dwarves. Got it?
Okay, man, listen. Take it easy. I just, you know, we did the faction focus about the humans. We did the faction focus about the elves.
The elves and their foofy hairs and their stag talk about their locked horns and ooh and all of this. Listen up. I'm going to be telling the tale of the dwarves. Go get yourself a drink, sit down, and listen up.
All right, whatever you say. Take it easy.
The bloody divinity Ogta had coveted the land of Ogmore once before creating the orcs. Immediately following the creation of the elves by the fair Noelia, Ogta grew jealous. In haste, she drew ores from the celestial bodies across the heavens to craft her mighty warriors. When she began to lower her creations to the land, Noelia took notice. Appalled at the selfish motivations of her counterpart, Noelia lashed out in a furious barrage of blades for 22 moons. The attack disrupted the spell that cradled the dwarves in their slow descent, and they began to fall. As the dwarves tumbled toward the surface, unbridled by their defeated creator, they felt, for the first time, alone. A tremendous number perished in the Great Fall. Those that survived turned to stern stoicism, which offered the only escape from profound sorrow and loneliness in the early years. This temperament, so characteristic of the Lords of Stone, ingrained itself permanently in their demeanor. Despair ultimately turned into introspection, and the dwarves found divinity in themselves. The celestial ores inhabiting their veins had braced them in impact and became the focus of their spirituality. They spurned Ogta, and by doing so severed her bond to Ogmore. The dwarves then looked to the mountains and found them to inspire a steadfastness that so captures the resolve of the fallen. Atop the highest peaks, the dwarves found peace. After a great era of tranquil isolation, the squabbling races grew tired of destroying each other and saw a new challenge in the dwarves. Their armies broke upon the stonework fortification like waves, searching for any flaw in the exceptional craftsmanship. They found none, of course. Their threats to overtake the sacred temples and towers of the Stone Ones proved to be empty. There is a secret, however. The dwarves are quite outnumbered. It is for this reason that they fight with such stalwart courage, making a single defender feel like a thousand and showing all of Ogmore that their heavenly blood is not to be boiled. The five buildings you can construct when running the dwarven army are the blacksmith, a monastery, the mead hall, and of course a sea dock and air spire. Now listen, we don't much like the air spire because we've fallen before. Get it? Ha ha ha! Starting with the blacksmith. Its level 1 ability gives your warriors +1 strength when fighting in a mountains region. Well, of course it does, you dimwit. Makes total dwarven sense. The level 2 blacksmith allows your warriors to occupy mountain regions, worker spaces, and collect ore as if they were lowly, puny serfs. The more ore, the better, the dwarves always say. And the level 3 ability states, if you destroy a tower, you may instantly replace it with one of your own. At no cost! That's right, just kick him out, take the darn thing over and be done with it. On your way, here we go, get out. Once you build the blacksmith, you're able to summon the cannoneer. Good old Dugsy Warrarm. Dugsy Warrarm, a walking cannon himself, a mobile mortar and a hulking hurricane of firepower. Dugsy smote the hordes who stood against the mighty dwarven kingdom. The molten shells he fires are filled with refined brimstone mined from the dwarven mountains, and their explosion can easily dismantle the wing or sail of any adversarial craft. At level 1, he gets +1 strength when fighting vessels. Level 2 offers him +2 strength when fighting an army with 3 or more units. Again, the more the better, ha ha! And at level 3, you'll be gaining 2 victory points if he wins a battle against a vessel. Which, and if you remember, he gets +1 strength for fighting the darn thing. Now the next building is a little more peaceful. It's the monastery, a place of perfect peace. The level 1 monastery lowers all build action costs by 1 ore. Isn't that nice of him? With a level 2 monastery, towers and armies adjacent to your tower on the same continent are +1 strength when defending. Just try to break through our defenses. And once complete, the level 3 gives you +1 victory point at the end of the game for each met and region you control. Max 6 here. Now don't get greedy, but take them all over if you can. Once you built your monastery, you can summon the lovely priestess, Uvelin Goldborn. Uvelin Goldborn has focused her studies on fanning the eternal fires of her people. Like many others in the Golden Mountain Monastery, she worships and investigates the celestial perfection held in all Dwarven blood. By directing her cantrips and in harnessing the sanguine life force, she enhances the strength and fortitude of her Dwarven soldiers. At level 1, this lass can be placed in any marching army. While it's marching, that is. At level 2, when marching, you may instead move any units, including enemy units, from adjacent regions into the Priestess region. Kinda like a siren song, if you know what I mean. And once she's level 3, you'll gain 2 victory points if she wins a battle using her level 1 or 2 abilities. Not bad, lass. Not bad at all. Now the Mead Hall. There be a building worth discussing. At level 1, your Mead Hall gives an army containing serfs the ability to gain 1 ore at the enter a mountain region, just for walking by. At level 2, when defending your capital city, serfs in the courtyard and the action bar are strength +1. Again, come and get it once your Mead Hall is level 3. If you have 2 serfs in a mountain region, they not only collect 2 ore, but 2 mana as well. With the construction of the Mead Hall comes the ability to summon your Marauder, good old Captain Flintmere. Captain Flintmere, decades of crawling through narrow passages, hunting treasures has given Captain Flintmere one distinct advantage. A mental map known to disappear in accidental cave-ins and fall on bullets. And whenever a vessel is ready to depart, he always seems to be on board. He prefers that to walking. Level 1 Flintmere can be placed on any vessel when you move it. As stated before, he did not like to walk anywhere. Level 2 allows him to gain 3 resources of your choice when he destroys an enemy vessel. How nice! He at least loots the thing before completely demolishing it! And level 3, when the Marauder wins a battle, gain 2 resources of your choice. This can combine with level 2, so if he wins a battle against a vessel, that's a whopping 5 resources of your choice. Well, that's the tale of the dwarves in Ogmore. What are your thoughts? Thanks. I'll take it from here. Whew. These dwarves sure seem to be opportunistic, to say the least. Super defendy, super able to harvest resources quite well, and if you establish some mountain strongholds and bolster your mead hall and monastery, if I were to run the dwarves, I believe that's exactly what I'd do. I'd build the monastery and the mead hall up, recruit Captain Flintbeard, lay waste to the enemy's vessels for all those resources. Not a bad idea to try running the cannoneer either, however, as you'll essentially get to steal towers from your opponents. Lots of options here with the Skyfallen Dwarves of Ogmore. That'll do it for today's faction focus, Dwarves of Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea. I hope you enjoyed it. Check us out on our next episode when we discuss the orcs.
Orcs?